Digital Courage, Digital Courage. And with that, welcome Jakob and Konstantin from Digital Courage, Chat Control Ex Machina. Hello, I will try to move out of the distortion area. Great that you're all here and want to hear something about chat control or how we are trying to do something against it from an artist perspective. So I'm Konstantin and I'm Jakob at Digital Courage. Jakob is there as part of a federal volunteer service thing. We are going to present this nice device to you, how we built it and how we went from the first draft to the final scanner at the end. And we want to talk about why we did all this work and how we built it in the first place. Maybe give some assistance if anyone wants to build a similar device themselves. Some fails, of course, what didn't work when we constructed it, and all the places that we've gone to with this device. Indeed. So I'm going to start talking about the why for a second. Mainly, you probably already know, I assume. So this is not the EU internal commissary, but this is a person who is often compared with her, Dolores Umbridge from the Harry Potter universe, who wants to read the mail of all the pupils in Hogwarts at her time. And so from an optical similarity to the EU commissary, the secret working title for this project was Operation Umbridge. And specifically, our goal was to, so chat control is an abstract subject for many people. It's about software, it's about AI. What do you do there? That is very technical and too technical for many people to understand. So we wanted to have something tangible, something you can touch, which is big, and you can see something is happening there. We wanted to build this and communicate the subject in a very different way. And Jakob is going to tell us how we did this. Yes, so it is built from two parts, the basis and then the scanner itself. And the basis has all the technology in it. It is made from normal aluminium profiles and wooden plates. And you can see the motors on the right that are built in there. So the gear that closes the door and the motor. And then next to it, you can see this angle that holds the motor with the scan ring gear ring. And on the left side, you can see from above where the podium is going to go into later and the gear again. We had some trouble. We didn't have 3D printers that were big enough for this. So all the bigger parts are made from smaller parts like this gear, for instance. We had quarters there that we then screwed together. And this orange mat that we put on the wooden base is, I don't remember the word, but that's just to dampen the sound and for the thing to move more smoothly. On top we have this milk glass plate, or plastic glass, whatever. And on the back you can see where the back wall is going to go in. And then the hole where you can look into a little bit, we will have LEDs in there later to illuminate the floor nicely. And on this podium that we just mentioned, we put another aluminium profile where the gear is going along, and that moves the scanning ring up and down. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the way we built this other thing, which was more complex, which has to hold this ring or guide this ring, but also at the same time glide nicely along this profile. And this is built from on a plate on the back wall of the profile with something that is locked to the aluminium profile. And then the ring is screwed to that. And this whole thing then goes against the aluminium profile. Then there's another plate on front, which can also guide this ring in its profile, and then you can see the profile of the gears as well, which is then closed with another plate so that the two loose ends are locked in there. And that's how it looks in reality. In addition to this, we had a second aluminium profile on top, across. And this is carrying two small 3D printed sockets, which are going to hold the roof later, where we already put some cables there as well. You can see on the right side. And also a switch so that the motor knows when to stop turning. The next thing was the back wall that we mentioned, which is hard foam, which we roughly modeled with a hairdryer. And then on top you can see the roof and the acrylic glass plate on the bottom. It's just holding it in place. About the electronics, we don't have an E-plan yet, and I will talk about why later. But it's not that complicated. We have two DC motors and relays so that the motor can turn right way or left way around. Then there's another relay for the light on top. There is a interesting construction from a Raspberry Pi, which is connected to a Raspberry Pi Pico. And we have two power supplies from 12 volts to 5 volts, and I will talk about the reason for that later as well. The software was mainly written by Konstantin, and the Raspberry Pi 3 is programmed in RPi Pico because it has the PVM interfaces which can control the LED strips. So that's just normal LED strips you can buy. I can add here maybe I have very little programming experience, and the background is we wanted to illustrate chat control plausibly, and in reality it doesn't work, and this was the biggest chance so we can build it. We definitely managed to have some problems that we didn't anticipate. That's why we let the politics people program it. So what didn't work? That's probably the most interesting part for everyone. So this is something everyone who uses a 3D printer will recognize. This is the part that was least bad. Why do we not have an E-plan? Because we had problems with Fritzing. Flatpak doesn't save files correctly, so that was the problem for me at least. And the solutions consisted in for some period after the first E-plan got lost, we installed Fritzing in a VM and saved this VM as a snapshot, which isn't really how you're supposed to use a thing, but the VM is unfortunately also gone now. And also we accidentally ordered 5-volt LED strips and only afterwards started calculating with 60 LEDs per meter, each taking about 3.6 ampere. We at the 5 meters that we have, we would need 18 amperes, and all of the LEDs are not showing white all the time, but still we want to have enough power, so we need at least one more power supply from the 12-volt to the 5-volt. And
we nearly forgot the power supply. Now we have a proper casing for the power supply. If you try it again later, you don't have to worry that you will die. Besides, is for reasons the one of the gears ran into the other. So this is the one of the motor, the gear, and it didn't plug in properly into the other one for the for the closing the case? So now I'm talking about the next challenge that we face. This is our timeline. Probably you know this from your own engagements and projects. Of course, everything happened close to the end. There are a lot of graphics, as we say here, but you've seen a minute more precise zooming of this time plan. So our deadline was a hearing at Parliament about the so the parliamentary session was at 10:30 in the morning, and our last commit is from 10 o'clock and 14 minutes. So everything was separated into parts. One of them was in a car, another one was on a train. I sat there on the train at the bistro with coffee. It worked under laboratory conditions. And then the script didn't work properly at the end it worked out somehow.
And our goal was that we wanted to create symbolic pictures for this topic, which is very abstract. So what does the press do when they want to talk about abstract topics? They need symbolic pictures. So this helps us doing publicity work as well. We can also communicate this subject a bit more like a game. There's one part that we don't have photos of, where we were at the university and talked to media psychologists about the critical dealing with things. And so this was a great way to open the seminary there and also raise awareness for the topic of check control, but also in general for the how to deal with technology and media. And in general, of course, media are always something we need to generate attention for our subject, to get out of our own bubble and convince the public against chat control. That's why we need interest from media, and things like this can help with that. And so that was the scanner in place in front of the Bundestag with digital politicians from the different parties. So the traffic light party, so the governing coalition was there, the pirate party was there. We didn't see Maximilian Funke-Kaiser from the FDP and someone from the Greens who also joined in the fun. This also helps us with informational stands to have an eye catcher so people can see, oh, there's something interesting there, I'm going to go there. Here you can see the live operation of the device. We had a problem that the thing didn't break anymore. Usually it breaks after about 3-4 times, and eventually this just stopped happening. It just worked all the time. So we had to look for bugs and put one back in, because otherwise it wouldn't be chat control. And that's how we can, at public events like the Interior Ministry Conference, we can, where other people are advertising for chat control, we can do something against that and show here, there's process here. At some point, the French press agency, AFP, did a report where they saw, okay, there's something interesting here on this political event, and that's how you can carry your control positions into the mainstream. And maybe you've seen this picture on netzpolitik.org. And this one is the scammer at our Big Brother Awards, where it was in the background, a bit more subtle. And now Jakob is going to do a live presentation for you all, so that we need volunteers for that, of course. So one person from the audience can have their device scanned. Volunteers, please. reminder, we are looking for all kinds of illegal contents. We've installed an AI which is going to scan all the things and then determine a suspicion score. So we put the device into the thing there. I'm pressing a button to start it. And now we just have to wait for the scanning process to complete. And in front you saw this beam moving around. And in a moment we'll see what the AI did with the material it found, how it's evaluating this. And it'll give us a score. Ooh, that is very suspicious. We have to say here, I don't want to remove too much of the illusion, but you've probably imagined that I didn't actually program an AI. There is some trickery in here. And just like with real chat control, you're all suspicious if you participate. Thank you for participating. You can have your device back. Did you all recognize, so what inspired us optically with this device? Does anyone have an idea? Yes, airport, what exactly? Yes, the nude scanners, I don't know. So that was our aspiration. We also thought about doing a luggage band, but the scanner was more doable and it was fun as well, mostly fun. And with that, we could move into the Q&A and are happy to hear your questions and ideas.
Bitte.
Is the result always the same, or is there a random generator? What does the FARB code mean? Do you?
So green to red is more or less suspicious, and the more, the fuller the loading bar is, the more suspicious it is. And it takes into account, do you have chat-capable apps? That's, of course, not doable at all. Anything that allows communication is very difficult. Python has great random functions that are easy to use. You can pass through the microphone so everyone on the stream can hear it. I'll add one thing. We decided against anyone getting a red score consciously, because as much as this is fun and games, it is a very serious topic. It is about child sexual abuse material that is being used to justify this law, and for that reason, even if this is just an imitation, we didn't want to give anyone a red score, because it is supposed to be fun to participate. But there's also not green, because everyone is suspicious.
So my question is getting a bit absurd. So the whether we will have the question. I'm not quite sure what the question was.
Deswegen wir das jetzt hier auch nicht vorgeführt haben, aber wir haben da schon.
So we have some ideas for what to do in the future if very surveillance-oriented politicians want to do with things. So we have a lot of switches in the back. Some of which aren't connected, but so one very nice trick that Gunther, a colleague of ours, not sure if he's around here, but one of the people who are also part of this building project, he had this fantastic idea of having an RFID chip in your phone cover and an NFC reader on the back. So each time you turn it around, the phone beeps, and if you time it very well, then and read the RFID script during the scan, then it gives you this oh shit moment because it beeps. Oh, it's found something.
the device needs a lot of power. So is it for field participations suitable? Because we don't have power every time.
Tatsächlich alle LEDs auf.
So this 18 ampere is a theoretical full value if you use all the LEDs at full capacity, which we don't do. But yeah, power supply is a problem. We had issues with, we tried to use uninterruptible power supply batteries, I think, and they couldn't supply the necessary power we needed in the end. But with larger power banks, if you connect a power supply, it is possible to use the device on mobile. We are also planning to have a mobile chat control during camp on the train tracks, and then we will be testing if it works with additional power. But that is one factor that we took into account too late.
Es gab Warnungen.
Or there were warnings, but I wanted to have a lot of LEDs.
Wenn es keine Fragen mehr gibt,
if there are no more questions, we have the scanner over there in the other Digitalquartier tent. We're going to put it up there again, and then you can use it if you feel like it. Joining in on the fun, maybe taking some photos and post them, that would be great. Everyone who can generate more attention for the topic of chat control and help in the fight against that is great, because we have to do a lot of work there. It might get decided in October already, so if you know people who haven't heard about it at all yet, then tell them about it, and maybe a fun entrance into this subject makes it easier as well.
Vielen, vielen Dank an euch beide.
Thanks a lot to both of you. Last question, maybe. Do you have time for one or two more controls so we can try it out practically after the talk?
Sure.
All right, then thanks a lot again to Jakob and Konstantin from the Guitar Courage. Thanks all.